Well, welcome to the class on parts of speech, middle grades. I'm glad you're all here. This past year, I've spent working for an electric company, and I've never got into electric before, and even this year I didn't much. I was mostly with the underground crew. But I still remember partway through the winter, one of my foremen said, "Could you go in the shop and grab me a roll of Romex 10-2? And we did what often. I was like, "What is that? What's Romex 10-2? What's 12-3-MC? They were throwing these words, these terms around all winter long, and I would say, I've really never done this before. And someone would have to show me that it's that yellow wire, you know, that they use for residential, is Romex, yellow Romex, and the 10-2 is a number 10 wire, two conductors. And so you learn these kind of things as you go. But until I understood what ingredients we were playing with, I wasn't really able to know how to do the job or how things would fit together and what they were talking about. I want to start by listing just the 8 parts of speech and have you all call them out. Just randomly, anyone give 1 part of speech.
Verb.
Noun.
Adjective.
Adverb.
Conjunction.
Preposition.
Interjection.
Pronoun. I'm going to count them. 2, 4, 6, 8. We've got them. Good. I want to do that before I do the next exercise because I don't want to get too stuck. And I'm glad there's only a couple of you. Can we be interactive? Can you all stand? I'm going to call out a definition, and as soon as you tell me which part of speech I'm talking about, you may be seated. Which names a person, place, thing, or idea? Noun. Okay, who said it first? You did, I think. Modifies a verb.
Adjective.
No, adverb. I heard back there. Connecting words. 2 answers.
Conjunction.
Conjunction and what else? Preposition. Right. Be seated. 2 of you. Which tells which, whose, how many, or what kind of?
Adjective.
Which can be possessive?
Pronoun.
And what else? I'm cheating because a noun possessive isn't really a pronoun anymore. So let's try another one. What am I talking about? Am, is, are, was, were, be, been, being. Those are?
Verbs.
I'm sorry. What part of speech expresses strong feeling?
Interjection.
And what is in this class? I, you, he, she, it, pronoun. Okay, good. Let's have everyone together just call out some more. What takes the place of a noun?
Pronoun.
Modifies verbs, adjectives, or adverbs?
Adverbs.
And, but, or, for, nor, yet? Conjunction. Modifies nouns?
Pronouns.
Oh, adjectives. You're right. Pronouns is wrong. It takes the place of a noun. Shows action or being?
Verb.
Above, under, into, for, with, beside.
Preposition.
Can be present, past, or future tense.
Verb.
Now, switch it up a little bit. You don't need to stand again. There's too few of us. It's not working quite the best. But answer now with an example. So give me an example of a noun.
Verb.
What?
Cow.
Cow. Animal. Okay. So I'm looking now for words that would be nouns. Example of a noun. Give me an example of a possessive pronoun.
His.
My, good, his. An adjective.
Red.
Red, the. An adverb of degree.
Of degree.
Slower.
More. Slower. Slower. I was thinking more of the more or very. Slower, I don't think would count. That's just an adverb. Is a slower goose. But even then, I think it's an adjective. It needs the ly. But more or very, those are adverbs of degree. Preposition.
To.
To, from, with. A conjunction.
And.
A conjunction that can be a preposition instead. Four, yeah, four is used both ways. Does trip students up a lot. Are there more?
Yeah.
Not pulling them up right now. Article, an article that is also an adjective. We had these before. A, an, and the are articles, and I'm going to call them adjectives. There are some curriculum courses that kind of throw them in as a either ninth part of speech or just something other, and it bothers me. Articles are adjectives for what we're learning. Give me an example of an interjection. Oh, good. Interjections are fun ones because they can be anything. They can be rats. And not rats used like that, but you can say, rats, our ship was full of rats, right?
The way you say it?
It's how you say it. It's kind of bad for interjections, too. What is a noun that names an idea?
Happiness.
Joy. Past tense verb.
Walked.
Good. ED words. A third person nominative pronoun.
He.
He. Good. And that's also singular. I should have thrown in the singular or plural part. We would be another one that would be a plural. An adjective telling how many?
Some.
Yeah, even six, five,
yeah.
Four, three, first, second, or third. A proper noun.
America.
Good. John, Sally. Plural pronoun.
They.
Any of them. Us. We. There are lots. Parts of speech, kind of circling back around to the beginning. Parts of speech is the backbone on which all language hangs. Our whole English grammar hangs on this. And that, I believe, if a student gets the parts of speech, he's well on his way to getting the whole of grammar. But we need to always remember it's the parts that make up the whole. It's the building blocks that all our grammar works on. It's not actually the grammar itself. If he can name the parts of speech, will your student then understand all grammar? Absolutely not. But he will have a keen knowledge of the terms his teacher uses. So when you talk about 10-2 Romex, he knows what you're talking about clearly, because a student should know when you talk about a noun right away. They should have a class of words in their mind. And not only that, but prepositions and the other ones. I feel like sometimes we talk about infinitives and subjunctive moods and subordinate clauses before students really can identify the eight parts of speech. And that's a problem. How can we talk about the structure of a wall if we don't first of all know what a 2x4 is? How can we talk about gardening if we don't know the difference between a shovel and a hoe? And how can we teach how to deconstruct a sentence if we don't first of all know what a standalone part of speech is, what each part is? So I'm gonna handle this class kind of as I have, and it's just gonna be a crash course on parts of speech. Hopefully helpful advice along the way and questions at the end. I feel a little burdened. If you're here for this first class, I don't know if you're going to stick with me all day through this marathon of middle grade English classes, but maybe I should go pick my bones with the people that put these things together or the person that accepted the assignment. But to speak for 45 minutes on parts of speech or punctuation is... It's not very possible, I don't think. So we might get some short classes today and hopefully some interactive ones. We've listed the eight parts of speech over here. I would like to go through now. Let's go down across these. And one at a time, give me a definition. I am going to take the time just to write these up as we go. How would you define a verb? Oh, I should have said this too in the beginning, and that is that I'm basing this largely off of Rodenstaff's English curriculum. That's what I've used. It is the best. And I had 5th and 6th grade books that I was studying out of for this. So I'm trying to just hold it there at the middle grade level and not get too in-depth. Rodenstaff being the best is my own opinion, but I feel pretty strongly about it as far as our English curriculum goes. What is a verb?
Action or being.
Good. Shows action. Or being. What is a noun?
Person.
Good. Names a person,
place,
thing, or what else?
Idea.
Or an idea. You always have those students that are so happy because they remember the idea. What is an adjective?
Describes.
Good. I'm going to say modifies a noun. Or pronoun. That should be a given. An adverb modifies.
Verb, adjective, or adverb.
Verb, adjective, or adverb. And one more thing, backing up to the adjective, it modifies a noun or pronoun, but what question does it answer? It tells.
Which one, what kind, how many.
Good. Which, whose, how many, and what kind of. And an adverb tells.
Where, when, how.
Good. I'm going to say
how,
when, where. And why. That's my Rodstaff English curriculum bleeding out. They need to be another word. This is the order I'm memorizing. A conjunction.
Connecting word.
Connecting word. And these join words, phrases, or clauses. I'm not going to put that there. A preposition.
Begins a preposition.
Phrase. Yeah! A connecting word that begins a prepositional phrase. And that is why all students know that a preposition is anywhere a mouse can go. But it's the definition is connecting word that begins a prepositional phrase. Prepositions and phrases cannot really be separated. An interjection.
Expresses strong feeling.
Good, expresses strong feeling. Also, generally are independent parts. They're not really parts of the sentence. They stand alone. If you look at the first example on the board, whew, that work was hard. That whew is basically a sentence of its own. It stands alone. It's not really a sentence part. Pronoun. Takes the place of a noun. And now let's go back down across. We did this already, I'm not going to write them, but give me some examples of some verbs. Some verbs that show action.
Jump.
Some verbs. Verbs that show being.
Amazar
was word. Good. We've got some more Rod Staff people in here. Give me an example of a noun. Man, people, good. An adjective.
Big, black,
scary. Backing up to the noun, we have a people. What about a place?
A noun.
How's that?
Church,
good. A thing.
Desk,
apple, an idea.
Love.
How's that? Love, happiness, joy, good. So we've got our adjectives. An adverb.
Slowly.
Quickly. And then the very, the ones of degree. How and where to what? How and when, where, why, or to what degree? Look, I missed that. Very would be an adjective, adverb to. To what degree something is. It's a very scary bear. Preposition, an example. Aboard, about, above, under, beneath, beside, between. An interjection.
Ouch.
Ooh, my. We had a bunch of these in the review at the beginning, and a pronoun.
I, you, he, she.
I, you, he, she, it, we, they. Me, you, him, her, it, us, them. Okay. Those things are rusty. They're rusty in me, even, and they're rusty in all of us. I think we need to freshen them up, and they'll help things to flow in as we try to teach. So we've listed them, we've defined them, and then given examples. I wish the examples were there. The reason this is important is I love for my classroom to have posters on the board with these. The first 4 years I taught, I did, and I feel like it's so important. You can get nice little posters at many teachers' store that will say, pronoun, takes the place of a noun, my, his, their. and it will say that on that little thing, and just slap them around on your wall anywhere you go. They're just little posters like this, one for each part of speech, and it's just there for the student all the time. He can lean on it. He'll soon be remembering what they are.
I had a little saying, MSR, what's word being been?
So you said it different. Well, it doesn't really matter how you say it. It is right. So how can we effectively teach these? Drill, 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 and drill again. Every English class should start with a joint activity, if you can, with the parts of speech. It's so helpful for me. My students, I remember, struggled some, and then it seemed like when I started with a drill in the parts of speech, all of English just lifted. It did take off. Do activities like we started this class with. Have the students stand and then call out a part of speech as you name random things. Make a list. Or have them give examples as you name random things. And then you can go into further than that, and you can say, have them call out the definition of a direct object, or things like that as you get further into English. But if you can get something interactive, usually the students are coming in from recess, their other things can be on their minds, second period of the day for me, and to have that little drill to wake things up. Drill, drill, drill the lists. That am, is, are, was, were, be, been, being. Have, is, had, do, does, did, might, must, may, might, must, can, could, shall, should, will, would. A student should know that by the end of third grade or fourth, I think. And I remember it was my students that taught me that the first year. I walked into the classroom and it was like, what's a Romex 10-2? And there was am, is, are, was, were, be, been. Haven't you heard of the twins and the triplets and the drrr? It's so good. You need to know that. So drill that list. Drill and, but, or, for, nor, yet. They should know the simple common coordinating conjunctions. Just be able to rattle them off like that. Pronouns also. The nominative. I, you, he, she, it, we, they. The objective. Me, you, him, or it, us, them. I've never learned the possessive. His, her. Their, theirs. Our, ours. You, you. All those. Drill those lists, I think it helps, to be able to pick out a word or to have one. Pronouns with pronouns, a good way to drill them also, or to teach them, is always teach them in the classes. I need more space to write again. When you're teaching nominative pronouns, okay, these markers are a little, it might work. Nominative case pronouns. Here, I'm going to list them. I, you, he, she, it, we, you, and they. Now, what we have like this is, the setup is just so beneficial. It's in broad staff curriculum, maybe in others. Maybe that's why I'm broad and staff English fan, because it's the only thing I've taught. But this layout. So these are all singular, these are all plural nominative pronouns. These are all first person, these are second person, and these are third person pronouns. So your first person singular nominative pronoun is I, second person singular nominative pronoun is you. And if you teach these in groups, the nominative pronouns are I, you, he, she, it, we, and they is how have them memorized. You, of course, can be singular or plural. We don't have yuns or yous or any of those things. Objective case, the same thing. Me, you, him, her, it, us, you, and them. But I think if you're teaching the nominative case pronouns, this diagram ought to be on the board all day long. And all, like, every English class, you can just put it up again. And you can use colored chalk to make things stand out. And you can do a lot of those kind of things. This picture should be in students' minds. I think it's going to help them with pronouns and a lot. Another activity, a drill thing, coming back to that a little bit, is the parts of speech in a sentence, to be able to label the parts of speech in a sentence. And that's the main thing I started doing every single day, is I would have a quote at the top of my chalkboard. And you can find quotes lots of places. But have a good quote up there, and then first thing English class is the students go around and name the parts of speech in the sentence as you label them for them. So we're going to start. Can we start with you here, Leslie? What's part of speech?
Objection. an interjection. That.
Adjective.
Yes. Work.
Do you need to get you a little?
There are more here. I just need to. There's a red one somewhere. Maybe you do need to give me another one. Oh, here's my red one. Work is a noun. Can we go? Did you get one? What part of speech is was?
Was?
Yep.
Verb.
Verb, good. And hard, coming back to, I'm picking on everyone here. An adverb, good.
That's action.
Is hard an adverb?
Adjective there.
It's an adjective here.
Predicate.
It's a predicate adjective.
Yeah.
It's describing what kind of work, and it would be diagrammed like this, hard out here. Going back to the describing your noun. Thanks, though, for saying an adjective. What part of speech is the? An adjective. We're going to say red and orange is all one word. Adjective. Butterfly.
Noun.
Noun. Flitted.
Verb.
Verb. Daintily.
Adverb.
From.
Preposition.
One.
Adjective.
Good. Fragrant.
Adjective.
Adjective. Just call them out now.
Noun.
Flower. Noun. Two. Preposition. Another.
Object of preposition.
The object of a preposition is always a
noun
or pronoun. So which is it?
Pronoun.
It's a pronoun, yeah. Which you've probably heard me, I've said this here before, but another, that's one of my favorite pronouns to teach because it's an indefinite pronoun. It's in that group of indefinite pronouns, some, any, none, all, most, each, either. Wait, am I getting too far with each and either? Some, any, none, all, most, at least, are indefinite pronouns. We're not quite sure how many there are. Another, and there's a little children's book, Another Mother, in which the little animal gives his little baby animal, her little baby animal, a kiss, and tucking the little baby animal into bed. I'm not sure. Let's say they're badgers. So he tucks the little baby badger into bed and the mom gives him a kiss, and the little baby badger says, Another Mother. So he brings in a mother duck. And the baby says, another mother. So he brings in a mother cow. Brings in all kinds of mothers until finally the baby says, another kiss, mother. And that story is super for teaching this. That's the problem. It's indefinite. Another. We don't know which. And that was the problem. They should have said, kiss. Why do we have indefinite pronouns? Going through this list now swiftly. Adverb and?
Conjunction.
Skillfully.
Adverb.
The. Blacksmith. Noun. Put.
Verb.
A. Shoe. On. Adjective.
Noun.
Horse. I'm sorry if those are a little too faint to read. Today. Adverb. It tells when. We.
Pronoun.
Verb. Wash. And conjunction. Adverb begins telling when. Tomorrow. Pronoun we.
Verb
shall.
Verb
iron.
That shall is your helping verb. It's your can, could, shall, should. Do those activities with students at the beginning of every English class is just a wonderful idea. And for me, it was imperative. I can't say I always did it, but I did always struggle when we didn't do that at the beginning of English class. If you can have a good quote up, have your students go around. And I should have done there what I would do with my students as well. And that is, the student has the option of passing. Like, I think it's good to give them the option of just saying pass, and that means that the next one has to get it. It does two things. They're not embarrassed. And the second thing it does is it keeps everybody on their toes. because you'll have that student that will come in and he'll count around and he'll see which one his is, and then he'll get started on his English. And it comes to his turn, he says adverb. But if you give that pass in, then one or two people might pass, and he might not know which word is coming. The parts of speech show the connectiveness, not as a primary thing, but show the connectiveness so they know that pronouns take the place of nouns. And we should always associate adjectives. They describe nouns. So adjectives and nouns should be connected to us. Adverbs, always connected with verbs. So show the connectedness between the parts of speech. There are some big ones. To me, noun and verbs, that's the starting point. And so many of these connect the adjective back to the noun, the adverb up to the verb. Conjunction is a connecting word. Preposition is a connecting word, too. The pronoun comes again to the noun. These words relate so well together, and if the students can learn to see the connectiveness, connectiveness talks about that. Connectiveness also hits again the nominative case pronouns, the objective case pronouns, to show that connectiveness, that these things are all joined together. Teach prepositions and phrases. Teach that they're never ever the subject of a sentence. I've spoken to other middle grade teachers, and I said, I think the first chapter of the English book should be about prepositions. So here's a pick with Rod and Staff English. And that is the wonderful thing of diagramming sentences, where you need to choose find the subject and the predicate of the sentence. I was planning to diagram some of these later, these down here. Let's just start with this one and do some diagramming. Some fruit from the basket was lying on the side of the road. First of all, can I have a show of hands? How many are familiar with diagramming sentences? Great. Some fruit from the basket was lying on the side of the road. I'm going to make a super simple, simplified diagram. What is the subject of the sentence?
Do you always find the verb first? Is that something you...
Thank you! I'm here blushing.
No, that's fine.
Fruit is the subject, but you should always find the verb first. So what is the verb of the sentence, or
was
predicate?
Lying.
Was lying. And then you ask who or what was lying, fruit was lying. And this also helps a whole lot with the diagram if you find the verb before the subject. So I'm gonna let it at that. But why is, okay, this isn't a good one for this either, but sometimes we'll have why is it not the basket that was lying at the side of the road? So some fruit from the basket was lying inside the road. Where your students will be caught is the jar of pickles one. It's so bad. The jar of pickles was on the shelf. So the subject of the sentence is pickles, right? That's what we think about, the jar of pickles. But your prepositions of pickles, prepositional phrase, is never the subject of a sentence. That's why I kind of wonder if there would be a way of writing an English curriculum where the first thing we teach is prepositions when the students get to school, so they know that those are not what we're talking about. I usually try to have a little crash course just quickly to freshen everyone on what prepositions are whenever you're teaching just the basics of diagramming. You're going to have so many students that are trying to put those the object of the preposition as the subject of the sentence. So teach that part with prepositions and phrases. Another thing to do is use word banks and speech definitions to build sentences. I've not done this a lot, but I remember a little game when I was young. It's a little interactive thing, and it had a wonderful camping story. And you would go through and choose words and then fill them into the story. I'd like to do that here with this exercise. Give me a verb that's present progressive.
Going.
Okay, good. Going. Can I go walking instead?
Okay.
I'm gonna just shift a little bit.
A little more definite.
Yeah. So a present progressive verb is present is happening today. Progressive just has the ing on it. It's happening right now. A noun. Give me an example.
Cat.
A preposition. In. An adjective. Red. Adverb?
Slowly.
Slowly. Singular pronoun?
Him.
hit.
Conjunction.
And an interjection.
Wow.
Wow. Here are my 50 copies of handouts. Just one.
It looks to me like going would have worked better than walking here, for sure. So, but let's be imaginative. There's nothing really you have to fill in on this because we already did a word bank. You can create worksheets like this or just do a word bank. Just something interesting to show students that these parts of speech fit into our language we use every day and we can change it up. So reading the first story using the words we chose before we saw the story. One day while the wind was walking, a cat jumped in a large rock and landed right on a red peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It squished slowly. It didn't see what it was, and it blended in with a rock. Strawberry jelly oozed between 10 toes. Wow, I've killed it. Upon further inspection, it was discovered that it was just a sandwich. So, however cats find sandwiches from rocks, it doesn't work well. Let's try the next one. But you can create a sentence that, a story, though it's meaningless. The sentences are structured correctly. Trying the second story, and these are going to be mixed up. A red ant crawled in a window and into a kitchen. He had spent his day walking, and now he was hungry. He followed his nose to a large bin. He climbed slowly to the top of the bin and peered over the edge. He gasped to see a huge sculpture of delicious human leftovers with a large cat right on top. Having never seen anything like it in his whole life, he exclaimed, "Wow, it is beautiful." That one works pretty good, except for the cat on top. To do things like this might waken your students actually being excited about working with pronouns and with parts of speech. Let's finish now with diagramming these sentences, and then I'll like to just open it up to whatever thoughts you have or tricks or tips you play to get your students to like parts of speech. So we have fruit was lying. What do we do with some?
Beneath fruit
on a slanted line, so some fruit. What do we put with from the basket? Which word is it modifying?
Fruit.
So it's saying which fruit? Fruit from the basket. So we're going to put it down here too. From, the preposition goes on the first line, the modifies which basket. So fruit from the basket was lying, and we have at the side of the road. What does at the side of the road modify?
Was lying.
Now,
break those apart.
But we have to break it up at the side of the road. So was it lying at the side, or was it lying of the road? See, here I run into a little problem. Which part of it is modifying the was lying?
At the side.
At the side. So it was lying at the side. You have at, side, the, and then we're going to put of the road is modifying the side. It's telling which side it is. So of, road, and the. We could diagram the rest of these, but I think we're gonna leave that. I wish we had a little better access to our boards and more markers, and then we could all come up and diagram them. Do diagrams and those kind of things. Are there things you've done, things we've missed with parts of speech that you feel are very imperative to teaching it?
Well, I ran into a bit of a surprise. My children struggled with first, second, and third person. They just would get lost, and to me it makes sense. It's me and it's you and it's...
Ah.
And I don't know, how should I make it easier?
Yeah, I have no answers per se. I would like to discuss this and see if we have answers. So how do you teach first, second, and third person? Because the first person is always... Yeah, I've had students struggle with that too. The first person is always me, the second person is always you, and the third person is always someone other than the two of us. I think too that's a tough one. Is there anything that anyone's done that was helpful?
But I did try to show.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thanks for bringing that up. I remember students struggling with that too. It may also help just of this layout, that if the students know that I, you, and we are at the top, then maybe they'll understand that the bottom ones are third person. The last line is always the third person line. But that's going to probably complicate them a little too much.
I teach that as like a conversation. If it's just one person, it's just going to be I, right? And then the second person walks up, and it's going to be you too,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you might be talking about somebody else out there, and that would make the third person.
Mm. That's very good as well. The little hitch is the we, probably. So what do you do with we? But it's first person. You're representing the group. Other thoughts on parts of speech, things that...
I have a question about that. Some fruit from the basket was lying. So what if a student would say, lying is a predicate adjective? Fruit was lying fruit.
Yeah, lying, what kind of fruit?
There are some ones that are tougher than that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... Any tips on that?
Yeah, I... Don't ask these kinds of questions. Does anyone else have tips on that? I remember there was, for some reason, it's picking up something about Jesus in the cradle in one of the English books that just, we did the same. How do you know? It was probably he was lying in the cradle. But how do you know lying isn't an adjective describing the fruit instead of telling what the fruit is doing?
You mean like being a participle?
Yes. Well, so the same thing here. Like, fruit was lying. Why can't we diagram it? Fruit was lying. And lying is what kind of fruit it is. It's the fruit that's lying. Maybe Ken...
Too much action for that.
It's too much action for that. I like that. Fruit was walking. You know, we know that doesn't work. We don't have walking fruit. But yeah, you can. The walking man told me a story. It's an adjective.
Mm-hmm. It's another name for that, isn't it? Like a different kind of adjective. How big is that? The walking man.
There may well be. It's not a participle, like, is it? Yeah, it would be. The walking man would be, so it would be like a gerund, which can be a participle or infinitive. Am I correct? I'm becoming afraid because I'm being recorded.
Well, a gerund is a verb being used as a noun.
Yeah.
And a participle is a verb being used as an adjective, I think.
Yeah.
So,
carefully. Walking. Let's figure this out. Let's get it. To play is fun. That's a good one. So, let's change it to infinitives. I like them better. To play is fun. It's no more difficult now to make this a gerund, a participle instead. So playing.
is fun. That's a complete sentence, and playing is very much a noun. But it's a verb word used as a noun. This is called a participle, am I correct? Or a gerund? Gerund, okay. I was trying to make gerund work for both infinitives and gerunds. So playing is fun. Why is this something different than this?
I think that one of the things you could point out, and maybe without trying to be too confusing at this point, but English doesn't always fit into neat little packages. And I think that might be just something to introduce and not go any further. I think in a case like that, you usually treat it as a verb.
Yeah.
Was lying. You could say it lies by the side of the road. It was lying by the side of the road.
Okay. I come back on to the recording victorious. This is a middle grade English class. I'm not supposed to be talking about these things, gerunds and infinitives. You're right, though. Don't overload your students with too much information. It's a problem. And what you will run into too many times if you do, as I said, put that quote at the top of your board, and then the first part of English class label the parts of speech, you're going to be stumped as a teacher. And I allow myself to be stumped and the students to debate it. And once in a while, you'll get them diagramming them at lunchtime or something like that. So step out on a limb. English is a complicated thing. And you'll run into, too, when you're trying to label the parts of speech and you have this playing is fun. The student will say, well, that's a verb. It's a verb. And it is a noun, but how do you know when a word that looks like a verb is used as a noun in the sentence, and then you're supposed to label parts of speech? Do you label it a noun or a verb? Because playing is a verb, but playing is fun is a noun. Try to stick with how it's used in the sentence if I can, but we've labeled things two or three times sometimes. Other comments?
I love prepositions, and I remember the day the light came on, I was teaching prepositions. Why it's a preposition, because it comes in position before the word that it's connecting to the rest of the sentence.
Nice.
And that was just really cool.
Nice. So a preposition is a preposition. It comes, so the mouse in the house is telling the relationship between the two words. There are also, my friend Jonah reminded me by asking me about the noun song. Have you heard of the noun song? Nouns are words and names, things. I don't have the...
A person, a place, or a thing is a noun.
A person, a place, or a thing is a noun. I mean, I just sent him the verb song, so I think I can find that. There are noun songs and verb songs that can be useful for, I would say, more lower grades. Here's a verb song. Some words tell things that you can do, and verbs are what we call them. V-E, R-B-S, V-E, R-B-S, V-E, R-B-S, and verbs are what we call them. Here are some action words for you to act out as you sing them. Stand, S-T-A-N-D-M-A-R-C-H, then J-U-M-P. And verbs are what we call them. So they're interactive, and you can jump or stand or do this kind of things. Maybe contact Jonah if you want those songs, because I have no way of printing them from my phone, and he was going to discover a way when I talked to him this morning. Other things for learning, teaching parts of speech.
Would you say that visuals are really good things? I've always been just a little bit hesitant about just pasting all the different definitions all over my walls, because then I always felt like it was going to be a crutch to them. Like,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to actually just learn it. It's there and they can look up anytime they want to.
Mm-hmm.
But would you say that the good outweighs the bad there?
I feel like it does. Like, I feel like it's a image planting thing almost. In that, yeah, they're going to look up, they're going to look up, they're going to look up. But I bet that 3/4 of the way through the year, when they look up, they aren't even seeing the poster. They're seeing what's in their mind, the picture of the poster that's in their mind. And then they've learned. The same as when I see this I, you, he, she, it, we, they thing, I'm not seeing that. I'm just seeing the picture of that that's in my mind. So there's this thing of miming or just repeating often enough. I think the good outweighs the bad. For tests, then you can turn them around and paste them backward. I'm excited. Well, thank you so much for your input and for joining the class.